If you'd find your place in the book of Ephesians chapter 4 tonight, Ephesians chapter 4. I want to read from verse 1 down through verse 16 tonight. Ephesians chapter number 4, verses 1 through 16. And I get my title tonight from the last verse. And I've entitled this message, Cunning Craftiness. Let's begin verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you're called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things which is the head, even Christ. From whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Cunning craftiness. I said verse 16 is in verse 14. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you tonight. We have the privilege to be here. Lord, I thank you for the privilege to be able to stand in this pulpit, and yet a responsibility that is always upon any who give of the Word of God, that it might be done with simplicity, might be done with that which would be helpful in lives. And Lord God, that your Spirit might have complete control to teach, to convict, to comfort, whatever the need might be. And that is exactly what we desire tonight, is that leadership, that fulfilling of your great, marvelous being as you deal with our hearts. Bless, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. We learn that at his ascension, he gave gifts unto men. He had promised the presence of the Holy Spirit of God. When you go back to John chapter 16 and verse 13, it says, and howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. That Spirit, he told us, would come when he left. And so he sent his Spirit to each of us. We also know from Scripture that the Spirit of God has gifted men with many different abilities. I'm going to take you to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 for just a little bit. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Mostly to see here some of the listing that gives us of these particular gifts. Chapter number 12 and verse number 1. He says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you be ignorant. God wants us to understand about this. Ye know that ye were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operations, but it's the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given, notice these words, to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Now I want us to understand a couple things with this. They are given, as we find, that we might profit. That's what it teaches us in verse number 7. So the gifts of the Spirit are for our profit. However, we find immediately after that verse that there are differences. In other words, different people have different abilities. So what you have and what I have is given to us to be of benefit to each other. Does that make sense? I think so. And that's the way God has worked that in our churches. Other thing I want you to notice in verse number 11, and that is, it says, dividing to every man severally as he will. It's not really up to us. God gives us the abilities he wants us to have. It's our responsibility to find out what those abilities are and allow God to use them in our lives. Now, in chapter number 4 of the book of Ephesians, we find an interesting verse in verse 11. And here we find, it says, he gave. Now, in this case, it's not gifts, but it's gifted ones. He says, and he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. So he's given gifts to men, but it seems like he's also given certain men as gifts to the churches. And they have a specific place and purpose. We find that in verse number 11 and 12, or verse 12 especially, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So they have a particular place, they have a particular purpose. And of course we find then that their goal is found in verse number 13 and on down, but he says that we might come in unity of the flesh or faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man of the measure, the stature, the fullness of Christ. In other words, God wants us to mature and to become like him. And when we're mature and become like him, it unites us together. Okay? Immaturity always separates. Maturity brings together. Marvelous concept, but it's true throughout the Word of God. It's true in lives. Now, we know something from Scripture as well, and that is, truth sets us free. Am I not right? The Bible tells us that. Truth sets us free. You should know the truth shall set you free. And one of the things I believe we have a freedom from is the freedom from the fruits of error. And when we know the truth and operate in the truth, then we're not going to be, what, having to deal with errors in our life. And thus, the reason for the Holy Spirit and his gifts of diverse abilities and offices is to that end, that you and I basically might be able to dwell together in harmony, in unity, accomplishing the work of God. I'm going somewhere with all this, and I hope you can follow me. There are four terms that are different, and yet they are the same, that are meant to lead us away from cunning craftiness. And I talk here about how when we are come to that perfect man, that he's trying to get us away from that which is cunning craftiness. A number of things said in verse 14, but it's just the one I'm looking at specifically. And so we find that there are some things that are to lead us away from that, lead us away from the deceitfulness and the lies of Satan. Remember this, Satan is a liar and the father of lies. We find that in John 8:44. And so the only way that you and I are going to overcome those things, I believe, are by these four terms. Allow me to give these to you. You'll find them dispersed throughout the book of Proverbs especially. One is knowledge. Knowledge. I have found that most young people don't like school. I don't think it's school. I don't think it's the people. I think they just don't like the work that's involved. I don't know about kids today, but that was my problem. I assume it's still the same thing today. Is that not true? And knowledge. What is knowledge? It's the accumulation of facts. It's learning different facts. Let me give you something as an illustration. I find this fascinating. Any of you ever been to the Redwood Forest? I have never been there. I would love to go sometime. I don't know why I didn't when I was close in Seattle. But the redwood trees are the tallest in the world. They actually have names for them. You cannot find these because they do not give you the locations of them because they're afraid of people going in there and doing stupid things to them. But the name of the tallest one is Hyperparium. Does that get you excited? And anyway, that's what they named it. And it's approximately 398 feet tall. That's a football field and another 33 yards. That's one big tree. I am told that you cannot see the top of one of those trees standing at the bottom. One is you got a lot of limbs there, and the other is you just kind of look past it. Now, here's something interesting about those trees. Their root systems only go down 5 to 6 feet. My mother always taught me that if a tree's 30 feet tall, it's got roots that go 30 feet in the ground. That's not true of the redwoods. 5 to 6 feet. And they thrive in thick groves. And what we learn from all of this and is that their roots extend some 100 feet outwardly. I mean, you think you got big size feet. My number 13s are nothing compared to those roots. And something else about that is that they intertwine with other tree roots. And they actually will even fuse together and becomes like one giant living organism. Now that's some knowledge. Those are facts. Those are things we can ascertain. Wisdom. Wisdom is the ability to make decisions based on those facts. Okay? One of the things we can look at and think of concerning these particular trees is that being a community brings protection and opportunity for growth. And so we can make the decision based upon that to what? Intermingle our lives one to another one. Now there's another word. There's knowledge, there's wisdom, there is understanding. When Solomon wrote the Proverbs, he said to get wisdom and above all get understanding. I used to say, why is he saying it like that? Well, understanding. Listen, if you understand, if it's under your standing, it's something that's what? Foundational. And I would put it in this way, it's being able to discover underlying principles. What's the principle that's underlying as we think about the redwood trees? Unity is having maturity. And certainly that true in lives. And then we find one other word, and it's what I want to deal with the rest of the evening, and that word is discernment. That is the ability to take all the information and be able to decipher whether it's true or false. People get all starry-eyed about miracles. They hear prophecies and they hear about tongues. And it's interesting that in 1 Corinthians 12:10, it speaks of all three of those, but it also has another one. He says to one, to another, the working of miracles, to another, prophecy, to another, discerning of the spirit. Spirits, to another, diverse kinds of tongues. Interesting. Intermingled with those other four, the other one's interpretation of tongues, is this discernment of spirits. Have you ever wondered why God put that right in the middle of that verse? Perhaps it's because people come at it and they get all messed up with some of those things. Now, we live in a society that's controlled by Satan. And we know that his weapons, if we please, are lies. That's all he has against us. You and I, if we will be the truth of God, can defeat the lies of Satan. Isn't that not true? Now, I'm going to use an illustration for a little while, and I don't mean to be nasty, but this latest so-called plague of COVID-19, it's laced with lies. We were lied to about how it was going to spread and spread so rapidly. We were told it would kill over 2 million people in the United States of America. We were well under that. We were lied about its devastation. We were lied about the means to stop it. I mean, we've had all these lies. But because of a lack of discernment and a desire to believe people, these lies have flourished and increased. Last night I watched a little bit of news, and as I was watching, they showed a video. I believe it was in New York City, and it was in a grocery store, and maybe some of you saw it. A woman actually dared to go to that grocery store and not wear a face mask. I mean, can you believe? Anyways, she didn't wear a face mask. Everybody in that store began to holler at her, cuss her, and tell her to get out of the store. Any of you folks see that? It was absolutely disgusting. There's not one shred of evidence, real evidence, that a mask works. And in fact, many studies have shown just the opposite. And yet, through the means of fear, Satan has successfully, as I looked at that video, thought he has successfully divided people to the point of internal strife. There are things that you might be a little bit afraid to do because you would hear from somebody saying, you're trying to kill grandma. You don't care about people or this or that or the other thing. And so we have all these things that are taking place. And what we find is, through the means of fear, Satan has successfully divided our peoples. But here's what really concerns me. He's also divided God's people away from each other that he might divide and conquer. A person that is dismembered from the body is out from under the umbrella of protection. A church is a place of protection. It's a place where you and I, we come together not only for fellowship, but it also makes us to be we're obligated to fulfill the right things in lives. And there are those who are going to check up upon us. And so we find that this has taken place. This kind of division has always been taught as detrimental to one's spiritual health and certainly does not lend itself to the increase of the body he speaks of in verse 16. Now, don't misunderstand me. Thank God, down through the years, men have been able to reach others through many different means. Through the mail system. I mean, today you go out to the, you know, a lot of people don't even go to the mailbox. They don't even think about it because they do everything electronically. Somebody tonight told me that the rumor is that the post office is going out of business. I've heard that for 30 years, so I don't know. But we use the mail system. We have found that God's people have used radio. They've used television. I'm very thankful for the use of email, whereby I can communicate with missionaries and others on a fairly regular basis. We have instant messaging. I mean, if somebody has it and they're somewhere else in the world, you can get it to them almost immediately. We have web paging. We have live streaming. But it's not a substitute when we're able to assemble. Thank God for those things. Thank God for them. But what I'm trying to get at is there's a real need for discernment, that we can unmask the lives and live in the truth that God has. Because what we've learned the last 3 months is there's a lot of lying going on. We've heard this doctor say this. We've heard that doctor say something else. We've heard news media puppet this one and puppet that one. And we've heard all these things. And we need to have discernment in this area. But we also need spiritual discernment. It seems to me that the course of this age is for lies to increase. And what that means is we need discernment. We need it desperately. And so when we have different people that are interspersed within us that have the gift of discernment that's a little better than others, we ought to learn from them. We ought to gain from them, because God gives certain ones a little more than others, it seems like, when he's talking about gifts. He divides several as he will to each of us. And it seems like the course of this age, it's just going to increase. And we must discern between good and evil and not let Satan manipulate us as he did in the garden. He understands us. He understands how he can tempt us, how he can take us in the wrong direction. And we need the discernment of Almighty God. Now, if we're going to discover which is good and which is evil, then we've got to have a very good knowledge of what is good. We know that comes from certainly the Word of God. It comes from observation and so forth. We need that time where we take it to the Lord. What direction do you want me to go? I had a pastor call me this week. He said, "What do you do?" He said, "I have a man that came to me and told me he was hearing voices in his head." I said, "What do you tell him?" He told me that he's tried the spirits and, man, they have been really good. Everything those voices have told me, that's come to pass. I had to chuckle a little bit, because we need to be listening to the Holy Spirit, not all the other spirits. What do you tell somebody like that? Well, the truth is, God's the author of truth, is he not? He gives us the Word of God. Is there anywhere in the Word of God that says he's going to talk to us in an audible voice inside of our head? I don't see that happening. What has taken place? Here's a man that evidently knows the Lord, and yet he's allowed something to come into his life because he does not discern good and evil. It will take him away from his church. It will take him away from God. I've seen it too many times. Brethren, get discernment. Learn to discern what is good and what is evil. Learn this old world comes at it with all of the different things they have to discern. And because you hear it so many times doesn't mean it's true. We discern it in the light of God's Word. And here's an interesting thing. The Spirit of God who lives within us will help us to understand exactly what God's will is through his Word. Allow that in your life. Let's pray tonight. Father, thank you so much that we can come to you and seek you. We live in some times, in some ways, are very scary. In many ways, they are very deceitful. The devil is working, it seems like, overtime. And yet, Lord, we know that as your people, We need to be able to discern that which is evil, that which is good. We need to be able to stand in upon your word, stand upon the things that are right. And Lord, that we might then make wise decisions and we might be used of you. Lord God, bless, we pray, as we go from here tonight. Use your people throughout this week, and for that we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.